today. Amen. Hey, we're going to get started, and I know I got a whole lot in here in my lesson today. We're probably going to be hanging a comma somewhere in here. I would love to be able to do the whole thing today, but there's a lot here. But there's a lot of places we can break up, because today we're going to just part two of learning to hear God's voice. You know, every pastor loves to say this. This is going to be one of the most incredible and best. If you'll listen today, today will absolutely change your life. We've said it a million times, million different sermons, and we do that. But today is one of those days. No, today's one of those days as we're taking it from last week. Learning to hear Father's voice. If there was, we like to say, every time that we need to hear from God, it's now. Listen, we needed to hear from God last week. We needed to listen to Him last month. We needed to listen to Him last year. As a nation, we needed to listen years ago. And maybe we wouldn't be where we are today. But what has happened in the past is only our past. We can't go back and change what has happened. We can redeem things that have happened through the power of Father, through His Holy Spirit, through the power of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of what? Aren't you glad that He rose from the dead? Man, I am still at awe every time I think of that, that God loved me so much that He sent a Son so that I might have life. And like I talked about last week, coming out of that dark kingdom into a brand new kingdom where nothing is secular to me anymore. That when I was dead in darkness, everything was secular. But the moment I got saved, I'm translated into a kingdom of light and hope, and no longer is secular, but it's now everything is spiritual because the presence of God dwells in me. And everywhere I go with that presence. And I want to hear from my God. I want Him to speak to me. Last week we heard talking about Father's voice. And what we did in that whole thing is found out that He created the whole heavens and the universe. That Job says that when he sang, stars came out of His mouth. That same creative power. That when we praise Him and we sing to Him. That Zechariah 3:17 says that when we sing, He stands up and sings over us with that same creative force that when He sang stars, He sings over us. That in that creative force, that no matter what is in my life, what kind of light, what kind of darkness, what kind of sickness, what kind of disease, what kind of financial problems, that the creative force of God sings over me where I am. And that makes me secure. We found out that He created this planet. Not for the redwoods, not for Big Sur, not for Hawaii, not for all those things, but He created it just a place to place you and I to have fellowship with us. And that gives me security. But we begin to talk, does He really speak to me? Does He really do that? Or does He even speak at all? And we talked last week that yes, He does speak and He wants to speak. And today we're going to look at some of the ways that He does speak to us. And like today, I said, we're going to be spending several more weeks in this. So today is not just the one paradigm of how He does it, but it's one of the many ways. He does speak to us. He comes to have fellowship with us. Before we came to know the Lord, God was always wooing us to Him. That there's this God of love who cares that would gently begin to woo us to us. When you were dating your wife or your husband, there was things you would do to woo him, to bring her to your heart. There would be circumstances strung together. Things happen, words from other people, and eventually you got the message that someone out there loves you. It was Monday that I had to go to Tulsa for a reason, and I dropped someone off, and I didn't want to stay for some things that they were going through, and I decided, well, you know, a mile and a half from here is a Lowe's store. I can go and look at tools, you know, like guys love to do. And anyway, I went there and I parked out far. There was a shade tree. I got a phone call from another pastor friend of mine. And we were talking about some things. And as I'm talking to him, I'm just leaned up against my car. I watch this guy come out of a parking lot, and he is walking, and he's walking straight towards me. And I can look at him, and I can tell that he's coming to ask me for money. I mean, we know those kind of people. We know how they look. And he gets about 50 feet from me, and he stops. He notices I'm on the floor, his phone, and he stands there. I know he's wanting some money, and I kind of turn sideways, and I reach in my pocket. I look what I've got. I've got a couple ones. I have a 10. And I pull the 10 out and roll it up in my hand. And then I watch him see me turn around and then just goes, ugh, and starts walking like that. This was my prayer. Father, don't let him walk away. And it was like a hand grabbed him and pushed him back. He backed up. He turned. And he stood there and waited. I took a couple of steps forward. He came my way. And as he came to me, I said, you need some help? And then it was GD this, GD this, SOB this, SOB that. And I just stood there. And I said, you need some help? And he said, yeah, I'm a dollar short. And I said, I don't have a dollar. But I do have this. And I held it out. And as he started to reach for it, I said, but I want to talk to you just for a moment. I want to tell you there's a God in heaven who loves you. And he has been hunting for you all your life. See, when I came to find God, I didn't go looking for him. He came and found me. And I'm just asking you to slow down just a little bit so that he can find you. And I said, besides, his last name isn't. And I said the D word. And it kind of rocked him. And when it did, it was like, there's this connection. The pastor on the other end of the phone, man, he is just praying in tongues. Matter of fact, I had to take one of my earphones out because he is just going to town. And then there was this time of just this thing about God. And I took his hand and we prayed. And he walked away with more than $10. He walked away with Christ in his heart. But before he did, he was holding me and crying me, crying out to God, thank you, God, that you sent someone into the middle of my life that I don't have to go to hell. And I'm just blown. All day long, all I could sing is, there's a new name written down in glory. I didn't even ask him his name. But Father knows his name. And that name is now written. Because, see, God is forever wooing us to come to him because he loves us and he just wants to speak with us. Even before I knew his voice, he invites us into relationship with us. It's not a voice that pushes us away. We want to think that when God speaks, there's a booming voice and we should bow down and be scared of all that. But his voice is one that is constantly inviting us in. But after getting to know him, inviting us in, why do we come to a point of being wooed and being loved into the kingdom to begin to fear that the only time God would speak to us is to speak to us and tell us how bad we are and how we're blowing it, and we fear him? Why would we do that? Because, see, that isn't even his nature. Here you have a God that sends his son. He dies for us. Resurrection life takes place inside of us. The Holy Spirit comes to live with us. His presence now dwells in us. He has wooed us into the kingdom. He has told us things, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm your ever-present answer in times and in needs of trouble. All of these things, and then we think, well, when he speaks to us, it's only going to be how bad to tell us we are. He doesn't have to tell us. He knows, and you and I already know. Right? Anyone here don't know that? We know it. But his nature isn't like that. His nature is always loving us, building us up, Yeah, there is correction. We'll talk about that maybe today. The next point before we start kind of rolling along in this is this. God's voice is never bizarre. It's not one of those things that is very, very mystical and we got to figure it out. It doesn't come at a certain place, at a certain time, in a certain way when we do things. There's no lightning. There's nothing that's not going to scare us. He is not a shock jockey from a radio program that screams down there and tries to shock us into reality. He just wants to have conversation with you and I. I want to talk to with a God like that. How about you? How He speaks to us, it's really pretty normal. It's more normal than you can and I can even imagine that it would be. And we're going to miss a lot of times when Father's speaking to us because we come like things like this. Most of the time He comes and speaks to you will be certain thoughts. And you'll think, oh, that's my own thought, and brush it aside. See, I'm there looking at money already, knowing this, praying this, as I'm looking at my pocket. My prayer had already started. And when you saw me naked, you clothed me. And when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you came to visit me. When you do these things, you're doing it unto me. I already knew that. Do I know what He was going to do with the money? Yeah, because He told me, He said, man, I'm a buck short. I drink 2 pints a day. And I told Him, I said, listen, God doesn't have a problem with the alcohol. He wants your heart. But He wants me free of alcohol. Yeah, He wants you free of alcohol. But He wants your heart. Because once He has your heart, you'll be amazed at what He can do with that bottle. And we prayed. We prayed for that demon of alcohol to be gone, to be loose, to be free. I mean, this wasn't just a little, you need Jesus, get saved right now. This was a lengthy deal. And the other guy, he is just praying the whole time. When two people agree on any one thing, what happens? A guy comes into the kingdom. So it was this beautiful thing. Listen, sometimes there's thoughts that come in your mind that are from God. And understand, we are not smart enough to come up with some of the stuff that we think about. Things that God, as He begins to speak to us. Like I talked about that one guy last week when he goes to pray for that woman. I think it was with cancer. I can't remember. He goes to pray for her. And God says, do not pray for her. I want you to dance around her. He knew that was not his thought. He would have never thought that. And as he danced around her, she was healed. Because God spoke, He heard. He likes to talk. The best way to learn how to hear from the Lord is to go to the Scriptures. Now, I put all the Scriptures up for us today. Normally, I make you look them up in the Bible. But I did it on purpose this way because if I went to the Bible, I know as I began to read, I would never get to where we needed to get today. Okay? So I did it by chance. What we've learned is that Father speaks to us and He talks to us. It's a guiding thing. When He talks to me, it's a guiding thing, a guiding word, an encouraging word, or it's instruction. These are things that He talks to me about. He speaks to me about myself, where I need correction, where I'm doing good, where I'm faithful. He speaks to me about my family and what I need to do and things. He speaks to me about this church. He speaks to me sometimes about people in the church. Sometimes that's for me to go talk to them. Sometimes it's just for me to know and to pray about. But He speaks to us. Listen what it says here in Exodus. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go. We know that story, right? Okay, they're in bondage. Man, they've been under Pharaoh's hand for quite some time. God sends this guy named Moses who has lived on the backside of a desert for 40 years. He sees a bush that's just burning. And remember we talked about it last week. That bush is burning and he didn't turn because it was a burning bush. He turned because it wasn't being consumed. it was more than just a 30-minute bush, right? I mean, this lasted maybe for days. He may have passed it here, passed it there, and he's going, dude, that thing's still burning. He goes up there, and God says, take off your shoes because it's holy ground. Remember, we talked about that God didn't bring a truckload of dirt from heaven. It was holy. It was holy because of his presence that was there. So this guy goes before Pharaoh. He says, let my people go. We have all these plagues. We have all these things. They've been in bondage for all these years. And it says that Pharaoh let the people go, and God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines. Although it was near, we're talking about maybe a 6 month trip, for God said, lest perhaps the people change their mind when they see war, and they will return to Egypt. Well, what's that got to do with how God speaks to us? Hang on in there. We're going to go for it, right? We can see and learn from this one section of Scripture how God leads us, because he always knows what's out there in front of us. He always knows that. We talked about open theology last week a little bit. That open theology has the mindset that God only sees in real time. But my God sees the past, the present, and the future. My God is omniscient. He is not just open theology that sees right now. He sees it all. Not only what lies in front of you and I, but also how you and I are going to react to those things. See, he knows us better than we know ourselves. We serve a God that not only knows my past, he knows exactly where I am now, but you know what? He knows my future. And that makes me very, very secure in my faith in him. Because he does not beat me up because what I have done, he forgave me. And today he speaks to me of that forgiveness. And also he speaks to me about my future. If I didn't have a real future, why would he give me promises? He's given me promises for my future. Promises to walk in, because he is interested in my heart. Understand, God really isn't concerned with what you are doing right now. He's concerned with what you're becoming. That's what he's concerned with. And as we become more and more following him, we become more and more like them. And that is awesome, awesome. Understand this. He's leading them out of Egypt into a promised land. He said, I'm going to take you to a land of milk and honey. I'm going to take you to a place that has grapes this big that takes a whole lot of people to bring back. You know, the whole thing. I mean, it's built up. He's taken them to a promised land. And understand, the same thing is true for you. He is leading us out of our Egypt, out of our past, out of our bondage, and taking us to the promises that he has promised to give you and I. So we're going to look at just a couple of things this morning and take a quick look at it. Number one, you can never get to the promises that God has for you unless you what? Follow him. If you're not following him, how do you expect to get there? That is the most critical thing. It is like I remember we were up at Vail, Colorado, and we were in skiing. We went up there skiing one year, and we took Ryan and we took Seth, and Ryan just gets him a snowboard, and he's just off on the mountains everywhere else. Seth, just this little tyke, and we put him in ski school. And, you know, the thing is they tell the parents, please do not come near us. If you see us with your kid in our school, go a different direction. Don't get near us. We will teach your kid how to ski, but if they see you, they will fall down and they will whine and they will cry. So stay away from us. We'll take care of it. We're caroling up. I remember we're up and we turn and here comes this string. I'm like a snake just going, and it's follow the leader. Okay? And we're watching this whole thing, and our kid isn't in that one, so we're watching. And the last kid, sure enough, falls down and crying, I fell down. And the leader of the group, I loved what he says. Well, get up and get back in line. That's what I would do. And they just kept going. So this little kid has to jump up real quick and follow. If he wouldn't have followed, he would have been stuck up on the mountainside. And that's what happens with most of us. We just stumble and fall and get stuck and go, where is God? He's still leading. We're not following. So the number one way that God begins to speak to us is by following Him. If we're not following Him, how will we hear Him? It's like if you're in the middle of a parade and you get way left behind, you're not going to hear the band playing pretty soon. And then you wonder where God is. Well, God's always where He is. He is moving ahead. He has an agenda, and He tells us to grab onto that agenda and come with Him. The second thing is learning to hear and follow God is this. It's almost never, never in the direction that you think it should be. Anyone gravitate with that? I mean, I think God should be going in this direction, and He's not. He's going in a different direction. See, God did not lead them in the way that they thought they should go. It's 6 months from here over to that promised land. We can get there quick. And the thing is the shortest way is not always the right way or the best way. Everybody in here can do a story of that. Well, I thought God was doing this, and they'll just step out. And sometimes it might be a month or 2 months before they realize it. Sometimes it might be within 24, 48 hours they realize, ooh, I have made a wrong move real quick. See, He led them another way, a way that they had never been before. If you're giving God advice and calling it prayer, good. I'm glad I'm not the only person that's like that. But if you're giving God advice, God, you need to do this, and you call it prayer, listen, you're not going to be very open to hearing what God has to say to you. So we need to realize that real quick. Almost always, when you think you are going right, God is going left. Going in a different way. And there's reasons for it. Let's look. It isn't to say that His way is bizarre. It's not the right way to go. And there's danger. We should know that by looking at the ministry of Jesus alone, we should get this. There never seems to be a rhyme or reason to anything that He does. He goes into a synagogue. Book of Mark, He's preaching. A demonized guy gets up, begins to scream at Him. He deals with the demon. It's cast out. God moves. All of a sudden, there is a line of people at the house. I mean, it says that he is healing. He's casting out demons. He's doing all kinds of stuff. Deliverance is taking place. People are on their cell phones going, dude, you should have been to church today. It was like awesome. People are coming. He goes up into the mountain at night to pray. Next morning, lines, healing line. You know, marquees going, Jesus is here. And they can't find Him. The disciples finally find Him and they say, what are you doing? Dude, we've already got the revival tent set up. I mean, we have coffee, donuts, we got it ready. I mean, this is the time. And Jesus goes, I think we'll go on to the next town. I mean, it really doesn't make much sense to us. I mean, here He could have really made a name for Himself. Another time He's praying. You guys, y'all go get in a boat and just sail across the Galilee and I'll meet you there. Now that doesn't make much sense. If you've been there and if you're at Capernaum and you're trying to see Tiberias across the Galilee, you really can't see it. You might at night you could because of lights. But that's the only way. You guys go on out there. And I'll be there. I'll meet you on the other side. No rhythm or rhyme. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. You're here for the Jews. They hear Him talk all the time. I'm here for the Jews first. And then He ends up in Samaria one time, over here in Tyre one time, over here at Decapolis another time. Totally what is this all about? And each one of those times he goes to meet one person. I thought it was the multitudes we're after. And then he runs everybody off. Unless you eat of my flesh, drink of my blood, you have no part of me. And they bail on him. Everybody. And he turns, and when I read the scripture sometimes, I wonder if Jesus really did know everything, or he was guessing at everything, or because there's certain times, it's like he looks at the disciples and goes, are you going to go too? Like a command? Or did he go, are you going to go too? Did I lose it all? And I love Peter's answer. I don't have any other place to go. I don't have any other place to go. Least perhaps, going back to Scripture, the people change their mind and they see war and return to Egypt. If they would have gone straight down there through Philistine, there would have been war. Listen, you've got a group of people who are emaciated, who have been in slavery for 400 years. They don't even know how to serve God. They have bought into the Egyptians' gods. We read that through Deuteronomy when we go there, and they're getting constantly warned. 5 times Moses talks to them about this. First 3 times is the people, next 2, the ones that were there, the next 2 are generations, their generations are coming down. You've got to let go. You've got to go past. Joshua even talks about it. Those little pocket gods you've got in your pockets. You know, you make a choice. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. He knows what lays before us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what lies ahead for us. He knows what we can face. And he knows what we cannot face and we're not ready to face. Listen, a lot of Christians hold on to this scripture, and this scripture is true. And from the context of following after him, it is true every day of our life. Father will never give you anything that you cannot bear. But the world will give you everything that you cannot bear. And understand that sweet water and sour water don't come from the same well. That's why it's important for us to follow the Father, because he knows what lays before us. He'll never give us anything that we can't handle. If we don't follow him, boy, the world will hit us, and it will hit us, and it will hit us hard. 3, he knows something about you that you don't know about you. Well, what's that? They have just come out of captivity, and he knows at the very first sign of opposition, they're going to flee and they're going to run. That's why he says we're going a whole different way. Well, God, this is my idea. This is what you need to do. I can see my promised land if you'll get me there. I was talking to someone the other day. You know what? God's given me, I'm going to be getting some money, and I think I'm going to go, and I'm going to go invest it in medical marijuana. I'm just like, I gavalt. And my only answer is, what does light have to do with darkness? Well, I can make lots of money. What does light have to do with darkness? See, we have all these plans, and we want to go this way. And the problem is if we go that way, there's going to be trouble, and most of the time we'll bail. What would their reaction be if he says, guys, if I take you this way, there's going to be war and you're going to be destroyed? It would be, well, okay, let's go a different way like you. Or it would be, I don't think I'm going to take a risk and go at all. It would be the same with yours and mine. Our same reaction. God, there's no way. I won't cut and run. You can trust me, God. I'm here for the long haul. I don't have any other place to go. I will follow you anywhere. Why, matter of fact, I would cut off ears to follow you. Don't you trust me, God? No, he doesn't trust us. We're untrustable. He's the one that we trust. But God knows and already sees what's the best way in front of us to follow after him, to be led by him, to protect us. So it says this, that God led the people around the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, long way, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. He led them into a wilderness. So how does this work? Right after you hear from the word of the Lord, after you hear from him, There seems to always be a crisis in faith the moment you hear. The circumstances that surround this whole decision don't seem to match up with what he spoke to you about. Anyone experience that? You hear from him, and you take a step out in faith, and then it just, the algebra equation just doesn't work. It's supposed to be boom, 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 and it's all broken down. It's known as a wilderness experience in our life. So when we're following him and he says, turn right, and behold, there's the Sahara Desert in front of us, what are we going to do? What is our reaction? There must be a mistake. God, let's have another talk. You missed it again. Or I didn't hear him. Or was he really speaking to me? Or am I one of the bad sheep that he just doesn't talk to? Or am I sheep at all? And we begin to doubt. God called us into communion and relationship. He wooed us with love and circumstances. He gave his son for us. Then why would he cut us off? He is a God that desires to talk and to speak to every one of us that's here. Can I ask a question? Who was it that led Jesus into the wilderness? Right. It was the Holy Spirit. One of the accounts says it was the Holy Spirit who led him. The other account says that the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And that wasn't in a car. But he pushed him to go that direction. People who have a hard time hearing from the Lord will always be second guessing what he has said or what he has spoken to us. We like to study the topography. Well, God, you know, again, our prayers trying to tell Father which way to go, what to do. And we see the green light over there, the green grass over there. And we always want to run that way. And I can go through story after story after story. Abraham is in the midst of a famine. And God never told him to go to Egypt. He brought him to his promised land. Yet he gives up everything and goes to Egypt, almost loses his life, almost loses his wife, Pharaoh almost dies because of the situation, all because God never told him to. So some of the times we get in trouble because we go in places where Father doesn't tell us to go. We see that with Abraham and Lot in this one story. Abraham, there's a massive rumble going on between Abraham's kinsmen and Lot's kinsmen, and there's this rumble going on. And there, you know what a rumble is? Anyone think back of gangs? You got a rumble going on? And a rumble is where they come together and they fight, and there's knives and clubs and chains and all that stuff. And you have a rumble going on. You know what Abraham does? He does exactly what the apostles did in Acts. It says that there was a rumble going on between all these Jews and all these factions. And it says what they did is they separated themselves from it. You know, if you get caught in the middle of a big gossip thing and a big rumble thing and going all that, that's going on, understand I'm not going to get real involved in that. I'm going to separate myself from it. Because there's nothing I can do about that. And if you continue to want to be in the rumble, you can get bruised and cut and beat up. If there's something like that going on, separate yourself like the apostles. And that's exactly what Abraham did here. There's got this rumble going on. And he lays out his promise before Lot. Choose the land you want. And of course, Lot chose Abraham's promise. But is God faithful? Even though he was willing to cut everything off, died his own desires, God still fulfilled the promise in his life. God does not want mindless people following him. He wants people who will say, I will be led with the Spirit, and the circumstances that surround me, I'm going to leave that in your hands because you're the one that holds life anyway. And the Lord went before them by day in a cloud, and he led them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire, and he gave them light so they could go by day and night. What's that all mean? Following God is not just a daytime activity. Following God is at all times and all moments of our life. I can't live one way in the daytime and live another way at night. I can't live one way on Sunday and live another way on Thursday. I can't live one way. That if I'm going to follow him, there needs to be a consistency in me. Amen? It's awfully quiet in here. Day and night are alike to him. He's the God that can lead us no matter how dismal and circumstances we're seeing. I love this whole thing in Psalms. And you've heard me say it before, but I love this scripture. That God will cloak himself in darkness. How can the one immortal God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God who lives in inapproachable light that no one can look upon him, the one who says, I am the light of the world at the festival of the tabernacles, clothe himself in darkness? He's not afraid of the darkness of my life, and he's not afraid of the darkness of your life. And he will enter into the darkness with the light that he has, and he brings freedom. Dude, I'm amazed by my God. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken. You have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. I got to stop here. He knows my name. He knows who I am. He knows my past. He knows my presence. He knows my future. He knows my name. I remember the third time I ever met Jack Hayford. I was introduced to him by my pastor. This is Don. I remember two times. The second time I met him, he took my hand. He had never seen me since. He took my hand to shake. He said, hi, Don. He remembered my name. Now, you know, he's one of those photostatic, you know, memory guys. I have a photostatic memory, too. I'm just out of film. But, you know, he's one of those guys. But he knew my name. And that's great. But what's greater is that God knows all of our names. Every one of us. And it shows me something about God and his children, that he likes to differentiate between his children and the other children of the earth. This is what it says. It says, and then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how will we be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except that you go with us? In other words, we would just be saying words. And it wouldn't make a difference with the words we say. But if you go with us, then the words we speak have the power of you behind us. Understand, we can say the words of God all the time to get to what we want, and there's really no power behind it. But when we mix faith with what he spoke with us, with his word, there will always be an everlasting result. He says, unless you go with us, so we shall separate your people and I from all the people who are on the face of the earth. He distinguishes us not because we are holier than the other people, but there is a distinguishing with us because of the nearness of God. It's like what we talked about last week. The dirt wasn't holy because it came from heaven. The dirt was holy because of his presence. Mount Sinai, I've seen the place. There's nothing holy about it. There's not a blade of grass anywhere, but yet it's called the Holy Mountain because his presence was there. We do not have to make trips to holy places or certain times and that we have to lay out a mat and pray a certain way for his holiness. We are holy because he dwells inside of us. He tells us, be holy as I am holy, not because we're not holy, but he says, live in such a way that those things are circumcised, that my holiness floods out and rolls out into your hands and out in your feet. That when you find a guy that comes to you in a Lowe's parking lot and you take out a $10 bill, you are shining something that I have put inside of you to make a difference, because $10 didn't save that guy. Christ saved that guy. And only because I said, I'll do this in the name of Jesus. And if we do more of that, we're going to see something different when it begins to ooze out of our hands and out of our feet. We find favor with Him and know Him intimately because He is in us. And He is the source of all wisdom and all understanding. It's not that I'm better than anybody else or you're better than anybody else. It's that you and I have access to truths and to knowledge that the world does not have. They only drink from the well of the world. We drink from the spring of life of the God. Truths that guide me, that sustain me, that show me a better way to live. Truths that totally liberate me and free me from my past. He doesn't think the way you and I think, remember? And He wants to lead us in the way He wants us to go. You follow me so far? Okay. Don't follow me, follow Him. Anyway, He wants to show us how to operate in times of trouble. Just like He wants to tell us how to operate in times of good. What do I mean by that? There has been times where I have seen people come into a windfall of money. When I first took this church, we had a council guy that here comes this inheritance, a windfall of money. He sits down with me and he says, What do I need to do? We walked through some financial things. I remember his wife coming to me, the first check they got, just as happy as can be, and handing me, this is our first win, and hands me a $5,000 check. They had just gotten $50,000 on their first deal. And she was like, man, we're gonna follow God, we're gonna tithe and all this kind of stuff, and this is what we're gonna do for God, and He's gonna do this, and you're going, right, you're following the paradigm, good thing. Oh, about 2 months later, here she comes with a second check. We got another $50,000. Good. That was the end of it. And when the other $400,000 came into their pocket, a year later they were bankrupt. A year later, they had bought a home and it was being foreclosed on. A year later, they lost their car. A year later, they had nothing. A year later, they were more destitute than they were before they received $500,000. See, God not only wants to tell us how to walk in bad times, He wants to direct us in good times so we will secure a future. There's a few in here that you're hitting a certain age or even that we should plan for different things. There's some in here that have already said, you know, when I pass out of this world, I'm going to make sure that the kingdom still operates. And they've taken care of some things with their will to be able to do that. I want to encourage you to think on that option. Not that I want your money, but to think this way. There's a church in California that this last year, they were sitting there and they had a guy come to them this year and says, you know, I've got this money. I want to be sure that it ensures that my family is taken care of. But I don't want to stop when I die giving into the kingdom. So they take care of certain things. 37 hours later, he fell dead from a massive heart attack after he signed papers. The church got $6 million and was able to do everything they wanted and God had called them to do. And this guy is going to reap rewards. But here's another one. A guy in California, great guy. I mean, very, 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 very wealthy. I mean, faithful in church, on council, every time the doors was open, he was there. I mean, a tither and a giver, unbelievable. But yet when he died, the pastor of that church watched his will say $60 million to Texas A&M and not one penny into the kingdom. I don't want your money, but I want you to think long term. When you check out of this life, I want some things to be going kingdom wise, so I'm drawing interest while I'm there. It'd be pretty neat that after I give my, and I know it doesn't work this way, but you kind of think this way. You get to get your crown and your diamonds and all your stuff to God, and everybody else is. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like God gets a telegram. Whoops. Oh, you left some money, Don. Come up here. Here's some more diamonds that you could do. I want us to be fruitful. It talks about that when we see God, He doesn't want us to be blameless in one part. I think it's in Galatians. And the wording there isn't that we're blameless with sin, because that's taken care of. But He doesn't want us to see us enter into heaven empty-handed. Because we'll be judged on gold, silver, precious gems, woods, hay, stubble. I need to go on. And He is the God who wants to speak to us. So will God, the God who loves us so much, will He speak to us? Will He correct us when we're wrong? Anyone say He would? Will at times He correct us? Will He instruct us? The answer is definitely yes. But not because He does not like us. Because He loves us. And He knows what lies ahead. As a parent, anyone ever correct your kids? And why did you correct your kids? Because you love them. And you knew if they continued to do what they did, it would cause trouble. How many of those kids continued the path they wanted to go? And there was trouble, the very thing you told them. And those that followed your correction ended up pretty good. His way is higher than our way. He sees even more than we do. See, hearing from God is a sign of His favor. Deuteronomy 4. I got 15 minutes. Gives us some more hints about following God. There's a blurring between the line of hearing and following sometimes. But the two are so intertwined that you really can't separate or divide those two. Listen, in God's relationship with Moses, He was almost always leading, speaking when He was leading them. Hear, O Israel, the statutes. And He talks to them, and they're following after Him. So He speaks through us through His word, through following after Him, through obedience after Him. There's another way that He speaks to us, and that is confirming His word. Has that ever happened to anyone? I mean, you read something, and I mean, He confirms it. It happened to me last Saturday. Actually, it didn't happen to me. It happened to my pastor when I was 17 years old. When I was 15, 16, 17, under Al Owens, he had a son named Mark. And Mark died a couple of weeks ago, I told you, of an OD. I called and I left, you know, my condolences on Pastor Owens' phone. We called him Brother Owens. That's what we did back then, brother and sister. And I left it on his phone, and he called me last Saturday. And we were talking. I'm asking him, how you doing? He said, I'm having my good days. I'm having my bad days. For the last 3 weeks of Mark's life, I mean, he had given his heart fully back to God. He was serving Him. He was telling people about it, reading Bibles and deal. And one night in the rehab that he was in, I guess the pressure got too bad. Someone left the door unlocked. He snuck out, went to Walmart. Got a bunch of cans of something, went behind Walmart, started huffing and OD'd. And I told him, I said, Al, he's okay. He's living in the promise of what you told him. And Al just blew out crying. I said, are you okay? He says, I've only had one dream about my son. I dreamed that my phone was ringing, and I walked to the bar and I picked it up. When I turned it over, it said heaven. And I opened it, and it was Mark's voice. And he said, Dad, I'm okay. I'm living the promise that you taught me. Is that God or what? That God will speak to us and confirm confirm to us things. The other way he speaks to us, just lightly hit it, and we're going to hang a comma right here and continue next week, is he will speak to us through his scriptures. That, have you ever read something, and I mean it just like jumps off the pages and hits you square in the face, and you go, oh my goodness. There's only one problem. You're not, if he speaks to you as you're following him, if you're not following him, you're not going to hear him. If he speaks to you through the word, if you're not reading his word, you're not going to hear him. So that becomes the paradigm that we need to understand. That if I'm not following him, then I may not be able to hear him. If I'm not reading his scripture, I won't hear him that way. If I'm not abiding with the saints together, abiding in him, am I going to hear him too? Because they're confirmation. Well, Don, if you're saying that I'm not doing those and I'm just out here on my own, will I ever hear from him? Yeah, you'll hear from him. Why? Because he loves you. Because he cares for you. And understand the one thing about Father is there's two different societies. There's God's society and there's the world's society. And God will meet you in either one of those. I would rather much meet him in his society, in his kingdom, where he is. That when he comes and lovingly speaks to me, my heart melts and I hear and I understand and I'm able to follow him, knowing no matter what the circumstances are, he loves and he cares for me. Even in this kingdom, when he comes to discipline me, then I want to do what his word says. That he chastises those that he loves. Therefore, be quick and zealous to repent. But when I lived in this world over here in his society, not connected to him, he spoke to me. Because when I wasn't looking for him, he came and found me. And a guy in the middle of Lowe's parking lot this week slowed down enough that when he walked off from me, he got his cart, and I could see where the liquor store was, and as he was pushing it that way, I watched him turn towards the Taco Bell. God will meet you wherever you are. But the important thing is to find yourself in his presence. For in him is fullness of joy, and in his right hand, our pleasures forevermore. Amen. Father, we just thank you today for your word. That you do indeed speak to us. That you created this world not for your glory, but you created this place just for a place to place us. To come and to invite us into the Trinity. That you, being of unity, of love, of wholeness, said, let us create man so they can experience who we are. And even though we became broken, you were still wooing and calling and inviting us to come into that unity, into that fullness, into that love. Help us, dear Lord. Speak to us more clearly that we might know you in the fullness of who you are, even knowing that we'll never know you fully. But in our limited capacity, let that limitation be full of who you are. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Let's stand, let's worship him one more time before we go.
So raise up holy hands.